It's good to be with you all. Well, I'm sorry that Pastor Gregory's not well today. I am thankful for this opportunity to gather with you and to worship together. Last time I was here in this pulpit, it was in June last year for my ordination exams. So it's quite nice to be back out with that context. But let's turn to God's word together. And we'll do that by turning to Mark, the Gospel according to Mark, and chapter 10. Mark 10. And we'll be reading just a few verses from verse 13. Mark chapter 10, from verse 13. And here we read of the ongoing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and a particular interaction that he has. So from verse 13, this is the living word of the living God. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless his word. Lord God, we give thanks that your word is truth, and we give thanks that Jesus Christ is indeed the Savior. And so we pray now as we come to your word that we would hear your voice, the voice of the living God speaking to us, that your spirit would indeed lead us into your truth, challenging and encouraging us this day. We pray this in Christ's great name. Amen. Just picture the scene in this passage for a moment. There's the Lord Jesus Christ continuing to minister, to preach and to teach and to heal. And then most likely some parents come with these little children. Luke tells us that they were infants. They were perhaps not newborn, but they were small enough to be held. And they want to bring them to Christ. But then the disciples rebuke them. He's not got time for you. He's not got time for these little children. They wanted Christ to touch these children. They wanted Christ to bless these children, but the disciples saying, "No, there's no time." How did Jesus respond? We're told that he was indignant. He was indignant. It's one word in the Greek. It's an emphatic word. It means that he was greatly displeased with the disciples. And the greatness of his displeasure towards them and their actions here, it speaks to the greatness of his care towards the ones that they were preventing. The greatness of his care towards the littlest, even the littlest among us here today. And friends, when we lose sight of the Lord's care for the littlest among us, the church finds itself in a dark place. In a dark, dark place. But you see, in this passage, we don't just see the Lord's care. We also must hear the Lord's call. The Lord's call, because yes, here we see the Lord's care for the littlest among us. But we also must hear the Lord's call that we be like the littlest among us. Verse 15, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." You may say, are we not to be examples to the littlest? Are we not to be an example to our children? That they grow up and they learn from us and they, in a sense, become like us? pillars and posts in the kingdom of God? Well, yes. But there's also a real sense in which they are an example to us. I'm blessed with a 2-year-old son, my wife and I, John. And even this morning, we're learning from him. You tell him it's Sunday. It's time to go to church. And his eyes light up. Go to church. Go to see the people of God. Go to learn about God. Is that our heart as we come to worship God? The call is to be like the little children. The call is to have childlike faith, not childish faith. That's different. We're not to be childish before the Lord, but we are called to be childlike. And to be childlike, we're going to see with the Lord's help, is to have a humble heart, it's to have a gentle spirit, and it's to have a listening ear. What is it to be childlike? Or to have a childlike faith, firstly, is to have a humble heart. Just think of the little children. There's a humility to them, is there not? There's a humility, and that's expressed. Yes, of course, the littlest among us are still little sinners. There's original sin in them. But in their youth, in those earliest months and years, there's almost that you're waiting for those actual sins to come out from the original sin. But in those earliest moments of their life, there's that humility, that raw humility, as they are entirely dependent upon their parents for everything, for food, for clothing, for drink, for direction. But the key is not just that they are dependent. It's that they know they are dependent. They always want to be close to their parents. They don't want to let go of their mother or their father because they know it's from them that they receive all that they need. And friends, when it comes to this matter of dependence, whether we like it or not, we are no different. We are no different. What, you may ask? How? Well, Psalm 24, verse 1 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and all that is within it. Everything is God's, so everything that we have is from God. Everything that we need comes from God and Him alone. You know, as we grow up in life, as we start to get a bit more independence, perhaps as you leave home and as you go to college, or perhaps as you start to pay your mortgage, or as you feel as if you're standing on your own 2 feet, you may say, I've got this. I've got this. But friends, I've got news for you. You don't. You don't. Whether we see it or not, we are just as dependent upon the Lord as the little child is dependent upon their parents. Just as dependent. Even your very next breath, it's from the Lord that you receive it. But again, the key, it's one thing to be dependent. It's another thing to see that you are dependent and to live like you are dependent upon the Lord. And to see that you are that, there's a need for a humbling to take place. There's a need for a humble heart to be formed within us. This is not the only time where Christ uses children, little children, to teach truths about the Word of God and about the Christian life. There's another instance in Matthew 18, and he speaks of the need for us to turn, for us to be converted. And he says, whoever humbles himself like this little child will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. There's a need for humility. And that's what the little children remind us of. If you want to be in the kingdom of God, you need to see, and you need to see it this morning if you haven't already, that you can't take yourself there. And not just you can't take yourself there, you can't thrive in the kingdom of God by your own strength. or by your own works. It's the work of God that's needed. The humbling work of God must take place in your heart. Like the child who lifts their voice to their parents saying, "I'm hungry, but I can't feed myself." Whether they say it with words or whether they say it with moans and with noises. Like the child who lifts their eyes to their parents and says, "I want to get from here to there, but I can't get there by myself." Like the child who lifts their arms to their parents and says, "I am sad, I am weary, but I can't comfort myself." That's how we should be in relation to God, lifting our voices, lifting our eyes, stretching out our arms. It's like Solomon when he prays in 2 Chronicles 6. At that time of the dedication of the temple, we're told that he was there on the altar and we're told that he prayed. But that's not all we're told. We're told that he stretched out his hands. And whether you do actually stretch out your hands in prayer or not, you must be stretching out the hands of your heart. "Lord, I need you." It's like in Psalm 143 in the old Scottish Psalter version that we sang when I was growing up in Scotland. Just listen to these words. "Though I do stretch my hands to thee, my God alone, for thou well understands all my complaint and moan. My thirsting soul desires, it longeth after thee, as thirsty ground requires, with rain refreshed to be." A humble heart. A humble heart. But you see, for us to stretch out our hands to God, it's not just humility that's needed. There must be trust. It's not just saying, "I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that." It's saying, "I can't, Lord, but you can." It's like the child who doesn't just stretch out their arms to their parents because they know that they can't do what they need. No, it's because they trust. They implicitly, they unconditionally trust that their parent can provide for that need. And so it must be for us and God. Trusting Him and trusting Him wholeheartedly. As that Psalm goes on to speak of lifting up the soul to God and saying, why? Because I trust in thee. And how does God respond to those who stretch out their hands to their hearts to Him in this way? What do we see in our passage? We see in verse 16 that he had told the disciples, "Let the children come," and then He took the children up in His arms. Isn't that wonderful? He took these little children up in His arms. For the Lord to take these children up in His arms, the Lord had to bend down. And so, friend, if you are in the kingdom of God today, for you to receive that kingdom of God, even the terminology there tells you that you've been given that. For you to receive the kingdom of God, there was a need for the Lord Himself to bend down, to humble Himself, to condescend. And that took the form of the Lord, the Father in heaven, giving the Son. The Son coming into this world, and He Himself, just think of this, the God of all the earth, taking the form of a little child, growing up, and then laying down His life on Calvary's cross. Just think of the humility. Just think of that humility. The humble heart of Christ who said, "I am lowly in heart." He's speaking here of the humility of the little children. But really, friends, don't look at the humility of a child as your pattern, ultimately. Look at the humility of Christ. Because in Christ, we see humility in all its glory and in all its fullness. As we think about this humble heart and this humble trust, you know yourself as parents, there's a time when your children, they grow out of your arms. They are too big for you to take them up and for them to lay your their heads on your bosom anymore. I think of little John, who we're blessed with. And I know the day will come when I no longer come home and find him there resting on her bosom. But what I pray for John is that he will be like the disciple John in the scriptures. That although he will no longer be resting in the bosom of his mother, I pray that for every day of his life, like the disciple John in the upper room, he will be found resting his head in the bosom of the Savior. And I pray that for all of us. And how will that happen? Well, it's determined by the heart within our own bosom, the heart within our own chest. Are we humbly trusting in the Lord? That is our need this morning, to be humbly trusting in Him. But that's not all that we can learn from the little children, or we must reflect in the little children. As well as a humble heart, we must have a gentle spirit. There's a gentleness to the littlest among us. You may say, are you sure? They have their moments, but especially the youngest. There's such a meek and mild spirit, although they cry in those quiet moments, so peaceful, so calm, so harmless in word and in deed. We see that reflected in 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 20, where Paul is saying, don't be babes in your understanding, but be babes in terms of malice. Peter says it too in 1 Peter 2. He says, put aside all your malice, all your evil speaking, all your fleshly actions, so to speak. Be as newborn babes. We're to seek a gentle spirit. You see, the thing about a child, what makes a child such a treasure, such a joy, is not just this harmlessness, but underneath it all, there's something deeper. And it's something to do with the spirit. There's that peaceful spirit, that gentle spirit. And so it must be with the people of God. Don't just think it's enough to talk the talk, or even to a point to walk the walk. There must be something in our very spirit. You know it yourselves. You may come across someone, you go, that person's a Christian. I just know it. There's just something about them. There's something different about them. Because the Spirit of the Lord is at work in them. Kingdom living, living as those who are in the kingdom of God, is not just about doing what God says we should do. It's about doing what God says we should do in the way that God says we should do it. Just think about giving. At River Valley this morning, I was teaching on tithing. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, the Lord doesn't just say that I love a giver. It says, I love a cheerful giver. There's a cheerful spirit that must be accompanied with our giving, or that we must accompany our giving with. It's a real problem today in the church in the West, and there's a real moving away from the Word of God. We've seen it in many places and in many different ways. But often what we focus on is moving away from the statutes of God's word, the commands of God's word, and that's happened. But there can also be a moving away from the spirit of God's word. In other words, there may be churches that still hold strongly to the principles of God's word, even the principles of the Reformation. But we may have lost something of the spirit of God's word in terms of how we are to live, how we are to hold our principles, and how we are to walk before the Lord. That can be more subtle. That can be harder to see, perhaps, but it's not hard to diagnose. What's at the root of it? At the root of it is pride. There was pride in the disciples. Back in chapter 9, they were discussing amongst themselves who was the greatest. And as that pride was working in them, it's no surprise that when these parents came with these children, they responded without a gentle spirit, because where there's no humility, there will be no true gentleness. We're told that they rebuked them. It's a strong word. It's the word that Christ used for Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan. It's the word that's used of Christ rebuking the demons. It's the word that's used of Christ rebuking the raging seas. It's strong language. It's a strong reaction because there was pride at work within them. For true gentleness, there must be that humility. Christ didn't just say, I'm lowly in heart. He said, I am gentle in heart. And that's because the two come together. The two come together. It's no surprise that the word pride, the middle letter, is I. And when pride reigns in our hearts, what you'll find is that we will be the middle letter of our lives. God and neighbor can go to the side. And friends, that's not of the Spirit. That's not what the Word calls for. So don't be surprised when you're living like that, that you don't see the fruit of the Spirit in your life, including the fruit of gentleness. We're told here that it was the disciples that stopped these children coming. In a sense, the disciples were standing in the way between the children and the Savior. Well, friends, in terms of coming to the Lord, if you're not with the Lord this day, or you're not trusting in Him, there's a real sense in which you are the biggest obstacle between Him and yourself, your pride. And so too, if you're not sensing that you're growing in grace as those who do believe, often the biggest obstacle between us and growth in the Lord is ourselves, is our pride setting in. And that must be put to death. You'll be saying, why am I not gentle? Why am I not bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Well, perhaps it's because you are not giving the one who has said, I am gentle and lowly, the place that is due in your life. We're going to sing when we close in Psalm 131. And there David speaks of being like a weaned child resting on his mother's chest. But before speaking of that gentleness and that restful spirit, he says first, my heart is not exalted, Lord, nor haughty is my eye. You see, he's saying there's a humility within me. By the grace of God, there's a humility within me. And so that leads to the gentleness. That leads to the restfulness. Like Christ himself said, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. And what he's saying there is, come to me. And what will happen? You'll find rest for your souls. And so let's seek to have not just a humble heart, but the grace of God, but also a gentle spirit. Because to have a gentle spirit is to have the Spirit of Christ. But finally, childlike faith, it will manifest itself, yes, with a humble heart, yes, with a gentle spirit. But finally, it will also manifest itself in a listening ear. Just think of the little children, perhaps not so much the newborns, but those who are a little bit older. They are so eager to learn, so inquisitive. You open a book and it's, what's that? What's that? What's that? You tell them something, you answer one question, they ask you another. They want to learn. They're hungry. That's something we lack in the church today. An eager and an inquisitive spirit. Christ says in that same portion of God's word, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Before that, he says, take my yoke upon me, my yoke upon you, and learn from me. But are we eager to learn? Are we inquisitive? Are we saying, tell me more about that, Lord? Show me more about who you are. Show me more about who I'm called to be. Like Peter says in that same portion, 2 Peter, or 1 Peter 2, when he says, put aside malice, put aside these things. The next verse he says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. Hunger for it. Long for it. Thirst for it. Why do we lack this spirit? Well, when a child learns something, they're amazed by it. Even just the simplest thing, you tell the child, look, the sky's blue. Whoa, it's blue. It's blue. And as they're amazed by it, they then want to know more. They then want to learn more. And yes, it's because they're discovering the world for the first time. Yes, it's because they're discovering new things. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. And here's what I think it is. When a child asks about something, and then they're given the answer, they wholeheartedly trust that the answer is true. They ask their parents something, and they have no doubt in their mind at the earliest age, it probably changes as they grow older, but no doubt in their mind that what they're being told is true. And friends, I wonder if that is why sometimes we struggle to have that burning desire to learn more of God. Is it because of unbelief setting in? What unbelief does is it undermines our understanding. Like Paul says, we can be just as babes in our understanding. We're not maturing, we're not growing, because perhaps we're not believing as we should. And we need to pray, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, he speaks of the people there. He says, I want to call you spiritual people, but I can't. You're not able to handle the meat. Because you're just stuck with the milk. Because you're not growing, you're not hungering for more. We see it too in Hebrews 5. Just read a little further on in our passage. We read in verse 32 of this passage. The disciples were on the road. They were going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed. Christ was before them, and they were amazed. Well, friends, Christ is before us today. He's before us even now in the Word, and we need to be amazed by Him. We need to be amazed by that fact that He came into this world. And for that to happen, for us to grow in our awe and in our amazement and our wonder in Christ, we need to trust that what He tells us is absolutely, certainly true. And as we trust that, our hunger for the Word will grow. We'll ask, I want to know more. Tell me more about this. Tell me more about that. You'll want to be in the Word. You'll want to be with the people of God. You'll want to be under the preaching of the Word so that you can learn more about the One who laid down His life for your soul. That is where we want to be. And what you'll find is you'll go from the milk and then you'll move on to the meat, wanting to dive into the depths of God's Word. But friends, as you go to the meat, don't forget the milk. A child, they drink the milk to the point where they're ready for the meat. But as they start to eat the meat and the solid food, they don't leave the milk. No, they keep milk in their diet. And they do throughout their lives. And so, friends, as we receive the pure milk of the Word of God, the message of the gospel of Christ. As you seek to grow, yes, take on the meat, take on the solid food as it's set before you in the Word. But don't neglect that pure gospel message. Because what you find is the meat of God's Word is actually all just pointing you back to the milk. The fact that the Lord is God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is Savior. Friends, we need humble hearts this morning. We need gentle spirits this morning. And we need listening ears this morning. I can't give these things to you, but the Lord can. He took these children up in His arms, we're told. He blessed them. And He laid His hands on them. If that has not already happened to us, this is what we need. We need the everlasting arms of the Lord to take us up. We need the hand of God to come upon us so that we can declare to the world we are children of God. And not just that, so that we may grow as children of God each and every day of our lives. Pray for the blessing of God. Pray for that blessing on yourself, on your family, on your congregation. Let's pray for this blessing on this land to the ends of the earth. There will be those who are living as children in the kingdom of God and declaring to the world, come, come see my Savior.
and live as a child in his kingdom as well. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word, and we do pray that you would work a great work in our hearts. Even if we are children of God this day, we pray to grow as children of God, that we would grow in our amazement of what you have done in Christ. And by your Spirit, we pray that we would grow in his likeness as well. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.